Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world instead of being sick from toxic chemical exposures. Yes, there are toxic chemicals all around us in consumer products, in the environment, in the news. We're always hearing about how toxic things are, but on this show, we're going to hear about how to be safe, happy, healthy, productive, and able to do anything we want to do in the world because we're not being limited by the effects of toxic chemical exposures. Today is Tuesday, May 28th, 2013, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to talk about gardens and gardening. I had an experience over the weekend where a friend of mine who was writing a book about music made a reference to a trellis. The staff of a music staff, it's like a trellis that you, a music staff, you put notes on the music staff, and a trellis, you put plants on the trellis. And he had various people reading this book to make sure it was understandable. And one of them said, this was a 50-year-old man, said, well, I don't think you should use that reference to a trellis. Most people don't know what a trellis is, and I don't know what a trellis is. And besides, young people today don't know anything about gardening, and they have no reality on it, and you just shouldn't have a gardening reference. And I was just shocked to hear this but I actually think it's true. I was shocked to hear it because I grew up around gardening, and in my family, we had gardens. We grew tomatoes. We ate tomatoes off the vine as I've had my own gardens as an adult. I love gardening. I go to garden shows. I like to just go to nurseries and walk around and look at plants. I love to go to botanical gardens. And for me, the idea that there would be children and young people who don't have the joy of gardening as part of their reference of experience was just shocking, actually. And coincidentally, or serendipitously, at the same time, here I am having our guest on today, who actually is working on introducing children to gardening. Bridget, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deborah. It's nice to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, Bridget is the owner of Gardens of California. She's in San Ramon, California, which is right next to where I used to live in Concord, California. I spent my entire childhood in Concord, California, where we had a garden in the backyard. And she offers products and services for the at-home organic edible gardening movement. Bridget, would you tell us how you became interested in this?
Well, it's been part of me, like it's been part of your life story, Deborah, and I'm positively thrilled to be one of the voices in the global Grow at Home movement. My company is structured around that movement. Its products and services are designed to draw out the passion and provide the inspiration for others to grow at home as well. So my hope is that homeowners will restructure their properties to this end. And I also would like to see the day come once again where this healthy lifestyle is never taken away or repressed from our children again by a food and diet industry that truly does not have our health and wellness in mind. So in essence, I'm bringing what has been good in my life. It's a call to beauty, not to pain, and making the human-plant connection for both children and adults seriously awesome. And
how
if I may, Deborah.
Yes, you may. But my question is, how did you get interested in it?
Well, I got interested because it worked for me. I got interested because I got so tired of listening to the news stories of the disease in children, what was happening to our planet. We can see this firsthand now. And I have the passion and the inspiration to bring it forward through Gardens of California.
Tell us about some of your fondest memories from your childhood about gardens.
I correlate it to freedom, to happiness, to growth, to family, to friends, picking blueberries out in the wild, coming home and having to clean them and getting a smack on the hand if we ate too many when we were cleaning them, pulling off the shells of hazelnuts so they can be stored, having fresh rhubarb pie made at home. It's so many great memories of delicious food.
My major food memory from my childhood about gardens is my grandparents had a large vegetable garden, and I was always helping them in the garden. And the key point of the garden was a large peach tree. And I remember just being very small, maybe 3 years old, and my grandfather would pick me up and hold me up so that I could go way high in the peach tree and pick whatever peach I wanted to have. And he would kind of guide me as to which one to pick so that I would get a nice ripe peach. And then I would take it in the house, and my grandmother would cut it up and put it in a bowl and pour cream all over it. And that was my favorite food, was peaches and cream with the peach right off the tree with all the sunshine in it and the rain. And then we would eat vegetables out of the garden. And that is one of my earliest food experiences. And I think that most children don't have those experiences today.
Yes, I agree. That's a beautiful story, by the way. And the children in my neighborhood do. They aspire to my trees that are growing right now, and their daddy or their mommy picking them up when the fruit is ready to pick their own. And it's a story we can share today.
Tell us some of the I know that you are involved in wanting to inspire people to grow food at home. But let's start by telling the audience, what are some of the problems going on in the food world today that this is a solution for, from your viewpoint?
Well, I follow a lot of the leaders in this movement, including Pesticide Action Network, Ronnie Cummins from Organic Consumers Org, and am listening. I post documentaries on my website, which is how my learning takes place. And what I'm seeing is that we are in a position right now where everything is failing. We're taking great risks. I listened to David Suzuki yesterday talking about genetically engineering new trees for our forests and how he talked about the spillover from the roots and the pollen. And we're really at a time of crisis here. We need to back up. We need to stop these diseases, and we need to prevent it by getting into our gardens with organic practices, sustainable practices, and that only then can we, I believe, get a handle on what's going on.
I totally agree with you. What do you think is a good way for people to start? Like, what's an easy thing to do if they've never gardened before? What's a good first step?
Well, I think by being a leader. And that's exactly what I do with my demonstration garden. And I pulled up my lawn some time ago, and there's nothing more than a beautiful canvas of a pulled lawn, to be honest with you. You engage on a community and a personal level this way. There are three schools that walk by. Children are continually learning and watching food grow. I can invite them in to the extent I can, show them the processes. But most importantly, I'm looking to the adult to come by and say, I like that. I'm sensing that. I can about taste that food that you're growing. And for years, Deborah, when I started this, I would grow food and I would give away heirloom seeds throughout the neighborhood. And so I was bringing people in one person at a time, and then I put my foot down and I said, okay, now it's time for you to start. So by being a leader, by showing, by demonstrating, you can grab the most amount of people to come to that, to want to grow at home and deliver the message that your children do not have to be sick anymore. You can have fun. You can grow. You can become so very healthy in your garden.
We have to go to break now. We are talking with Bridget Guzzi, owner of Gardens of California, and her website is gardensofcalifornia.com. And I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and we're here today with Bridget Guzzi, owner of Gardens of California. That's gardensofcalifornia.com. And we're talking about the organic edible garden movement, specifically growing your own fruits and vegetables at home. And so, Bridget, could you tell us how, like, what was the first thing that you planted? What was the first thing that you did in your garden?
What I'm planting in my garden.
Yes.
What I'm planting in my garden depends on the season. I'm in California. I'm in an area where I can grow year-round. So I eat in season, and I plant in season. And it's an array. And I myself am an authentic gardener. I understand I need a clean soil. It's imperative to have worms in my soil, or I can't go forward. I understand I need to have birds and hummingbirds and little pests around in my soil or around my garden. But what I grow is dependent on what the season is. And I save my seeds, and I grow them once again. So it's all become just a beautiful, beautiful reflection of honoring what we can get from Mother Nature when we take care of it.
And so what's in season right now?
Some of the things I'm growing. Right now I have there's so much. I have two asparagus beds. I have taken out English peas and put in some carrots. I have watermelon vines that are growing down my front yard. I have sweet potatoes. I have green beans. I have beautiful big sunflower heads that are coming up, so that I can harvest them and eat them and put them in my breads and my food. Cabbages, tomatoes, lettuces, just an array of anything and everything that I can get my hands on. I love to grow. And what I have done with my particular front demonstration garden is I've integrated herbs and flowers into that, so that one of the compliments I get is how beautiful that you have brought this to the garden, where it's just not standard bed, but you've designed it like a piece of artwork. So there's lots growing out there, Deborah.
It sounds like an abundant wonderfulness. I've been actually thinking about, I've gardened off and on in different ways in my life, and I've studied a lot of different types of gardening, including permaculture, but I am of the mind, as you, that I like to see edible things just all mixed up. I love to see just nice rows of lettuces and things. But what I want to see is that I want a beautiful garden. And herbs and flowers, especially herbs and edible flowers mixed together, I have a little pathway up to my front door. And I haven't planted it this way yet, but it's actually, I think, a perfect spot to have about probably 30 feet altogether if I were to plant it on both sides, and about 3 feet wide, just to have this gorgeous border of edible flowers and all kinds of herbs all mixed together, and lettuces. And I think that would just be a gorgeous thing to do. And I could just go out there and take whatever I want and make a beautiful salad, and it would just be lovely in addition to my raised beds. And it sounds like that you're just wanting to plant things to be integrated and beautiful, and that it can look like a garden instead of, I think that people sometimes have this idea that their house will look like a farm instead of looking like a garden. But that's not necessarily so. It sounds like that you've got that one down.
Yes, and also I right now I'm harvesting calendula on a continual basis and chamomile, and the neighbors are welcome to it. And it's a great way to get it pruned because they stop by and they grab some for themselves. And it is wonderful teas are made from this. And once again, the garden's organic, so I have no fear. And if I may, about this, you know, taking out your lawn, when I started this process, I worked so hard. I dug. I did this on my own. And people who walked their dogs by, because that was a concern for me, started to go to the other side of the street. Or if they brought their dogs by my by my garden or into my yard, I will always receive a dog underneath the chin because I love them. They don't lift their legs in my yard. There is an outgrowing tremendous respect in this community for this type of process, and I'm going to see it come further and further to light, and the lawns are going to be removed. I'm excited, Deborah.
I'm excited, too, because as you're talking, I can just see all the lawns in your neighborhood being removed and being replaced with gardens like yours, and that it really takes somebody like you taking that first step in a neighborhood and saying, I'm going to do it and set an example, and then other people can see the beauty of that and do it as well. So I'm glad to see that your neighbors are responding in a respectful way. So I'm assuming that you don't have any concern about people stealing your produce.
This is about bringing beauty and adding beauty to, and it just replicates and ripples through people's hearts. And they see this and they feel it. And if somebody is so in need, they are so welcome.
I'm very happy to hear that, because I have heard some people say, well, I need to put up fences around my garden so that, you know, people don't steal it or rabbits don't steal things or whatever. But I think that there's such an abundance in, you know, if I were to fully plant my yard out, and I don't have a big yard, but if I were to fully plant it out, it would be so much more food than I could ever eat, that there would be plenty for whatever animals or insects want to share it. If somebody walked into my yard and took some food, that there would be plenty for everyone. And, you know, here I live in Florida, and almost everybody here has citrus trees in their backyards because they were planted so long ago. And I don't have mine anymore because we had the citrus blight come through. But I had, when I moved here, I had 5 mature citrus trees. I had grapefruits and lemons and tangerines, the best tangerines you've ever eaten. And we had so much citrus fruit, we couldn't eat it all. And everybody else has so much citrus fruit, they can't eat it all. And so we're constantly trying to give it away. There's so much. And right. How can we go hungry in a world if we're all growing food? We just would not. I really think that this is really the solution to hunger. I remember reading an article about in Cuba some years ago. Well, we're coming up on our break again, so I'll tell the story after the break. This is Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we're talking about organic edible gardening with Bridget Cooksey. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Bridget Cooksey, owner of Gardens of California. That's gardensofcalifornia.com. And she has a very beautiful website that's an inspiration itself. It's different from other, of course, it's about organic gardening, but it's different from other organic gardening websites in that it's not about what to plant or where to plant it or how to control pests so much as it's about the whole philosophy, I guess would be a good word, of why grow your own food. And it has beautiful pictures, and I just want to explore some of the things that you have on your website, Bridget. First, I want to make the point about how fresh food contributes to health, to good health. And why don't you tell us something about that?
How fresh food can contribute to our health. Well, I live a fairly daring life, and often I wake up in the morning and ask if I'm still here. And every time I look for an answer, I look to my garden. I look at my grandson who's been in the garden since 6 months of age, and I'm watching his development. I am not seeing the concerns that many other children who are eating GMO processed and non-organic foods are having. So I believe in it because it worked for me. It worked for my children who were raised in a garden, and it's now working for my grandson. We need to make that natural transition back to our gardens. We don't know what's out there and what we're eating. We can start knowing that by getting at home And it's time for us to think like a fish, not a fisherman. We need to watch for the bait that's out there, that's disguised as natural. And we need to lean into real food once again. We can do that at home, and the benefits will show.
I totally agree with you. I just totally agree with you. Our bodies need to have nutrition from fresh food. And sometimes I write up like a little scale of what would be like the worst food and what would be the best food. And the worst food is always processed food with lots of additives in it. And the best food is always not food from the farmer's market, but food right from your own backyard. There's just no better food than walking out into your backyard or your side yard or your front yard and pulling a tomato right off the vine or pulling lettuce right out of the ground and eating it immediately. It has the most nutrition. It has the most aliveness. And you know exactly what it is that it went into it. I used to have chickens too. I don't know if you have any chickens but I used to have chickens until the police came and took them away because they're against our city ordinance. But when I had chickens, it was just a miracle to me. And I'm going to have chickens again, but I'm changing the ordinance. But it was such a miracle to me for me to go out and feed them the food and then see the egg come out. You know, it's like, you know, intellectually that's what's happening. But to go take my own scraps from the kitchen and weeds from the garden and feed them to my chickens and then have this egg come out and that I could see embodied in the egg and feel it as I was eating those ingredients that I had put into the chicken, and it was quite amazing. And it's the same thing with growing food, I think, because you know what you're putting in the soil, and then this plant grows, and that's what you're eating, and that's a cycle just right there in your garden.
Oh, I agree. My neighbor has chickens, Deborah, and I actually collect the snails from my garden and bring them over to feed her chickens, and when I need some micromanaging here with pests, she brings one of them for lunch.
Yeah. It all works. I saw on your website, Bridget, something called horticultural therapy. Did you tell me about that?
Oh, certainly. I actually certified in horticultural therapy a couple of years ago in Oakland, California. And it just sung with me. It resonated. And that was my plant to human connection. It worked really well. And I worked and volunteered in various populations, children with autism, some elderly, developmentally delayed adults in different environments. And when I structured Gardens of California initially in 2008, I structured it on the principles of horticulture therapy in services that I could offer. And one of these is a birthday party that I designed. It is based on the principles of horticulture therapy and continuing with the grow at home. And the party basically involves, it's a package party where the children get an earth box or a large growing container. I bring the soil, watering can, plants. Seedlings work very well with this, and seeds for them for future use, a reading gift of one of my books, one of my garden books, and the party favors are NorCal pots of herbs or seasonal plants, whatever in season. So it starts the plant care relationship. We're emphasizing the human plant connection here. And Deborah, I encourage everyone to do their own party, and if they want any help or suggestions, they can send me a note. And as you write in Toxic Free, your book that I'm enjoying so much, we don't need to wait for others to find our way to health and happiness. And I really appreciate that sentiment that you sent out in your book.
Thank you. Well, I do believe it. I believe that each of us has the power to create whatever it is we want to create in our lives and make our own decisions, and that we don't have to live by what the government says or what multinational corporations want to give us, that we can look around and say, this is the right thing, as you have, and take matters into our own hands, and every single person can make that choice. So I'm very happy to see that you're doing what you're doing. What if somebody doesn't have a yard? How can they grow food?
Oh, well, there are always pots and community gardens. We have local community gardens here, and I would hope that you would search out one that has organic, sustainable practices. And, of course, we support our farmer markets, and we support small growers, organic growers who are up and coming. We have a lot of weather issues that are going on right now. People can lose plants. People can go under. We have fracking to deal with. We have so many issues going on. So this focus, this at-home garden focus, basically is a supplement to also all of the people, the CSAs and the small farmers who are trying to take on Big Agra and make a difference.
We'll talk more after the break with Bridget Goodsey of Gardens of California. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we discover how to thrive in a toxic world. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and we're here with my guest, Bridget Goodsey, owner of Gardens of California. Her website is gardensofcalifornia.com. And Bridget, one of the things that I like about your website that you have is that you've designed a line of clothing for gardening, things like smocks and dresses. And tell us about your clothing line. What inspired you to do that, and what materials do you use and things like that?
Oh, sure, Deborah. Well, I love fashion. I always have. I've had a ball with it my whole life. But when I started out as a design entrepreneur for Gardens of California, I wanted to offer more than a fashion statement. I wanted to offer a difference. So I decided perennial, comfortable, safe, functional garden apparel and branding on value was the way to go. And I set the bar very high. I took as many social and environmental considerations and respect into this apparel that I possibly could, from lead-free buttons to a solar weave, sun-protective, breathable fabric made, rated, and tested here in the USA to global standard certified organic cotton. I also manufactured local to not only keep jobs here and watch quality, but also to avoid potential exploitation of workers in underdeveloped foreign markets. And Deborah, my gateway to you is Harmony Sisuela of Harmony Organic Art Design. And after a year or so of getting started and researching fabric, largely through the Fashion Business Incorporated in L.A., I came to know Harmony. And I not only came to know her, but I really came to love her. Her story is
Harmony too.
Oh, for sure. Her story is so kind, and it's so healthy. And once I met Harmony and I listened, I knew I had an outstanding source of fabric to offer to the consumer. When I heard about how the workers who grew the cotton were respected, they were paid, they were not subjected to pesticides and herbicides. And when I saw the work that she put in and getting these global standards for this beautiful cotton, and when I experienced mostly her natural print after, you know, just the array of digitized, loud, aggressive prints that have been on the market, I just felt so warm and at home and connected to nature. So Harmony's the bomb when it comes to print and fabric. She lives in nature. She's an environmentalist and really a wonderful person to know. When I do a show presenting my apparel and selling my apparel, I always recommend Harmony for anyone who's sewing at home, especially for children, if they're sewing at home for children. Also the sheets, which you and Harmony discussed previously, and also for new entrepreneurs who are coming into the apparel market.
And you can find Harmony on my website. Just type in Harmony Art into my search engine, and her listing on Jeffra's list will come up. But I'm also adding a lot of websites that are making things out of her fabrics, and I just added your website today to Jeffra's list, Bridget, for your organic gardening apparel. The last question I want to ask you, well, it might not be the last question, but I'm hoping we'll talk about this in depth, is as I've been saying throughout the hour, I love gardening, and I have had gardens in the past, but the problem that I run into with gardening, and maybe you can help me with this, is two things. One is that I don't always have success. And I get discouraged, and I know that I need to learn some skills about gardening, but also I did much better in California as a gardener than I'm doing here in Florida, and I am learning the differences now about Florida gardening and what I need to do, but it seems so, as much as I experience being bonded with nature when I'm doing it, sometimes I don't always get the result where nature gives me what I'm expecting in return for all that I'm doing to try to grow these few fruits and vegetables. So question number one is, how do you get through that discouraging phase and learn enough to be able to have success with gardening like you have? And number two is, I'm a working person where I'm working full-time and more doing my work. And how do people find time to garden enough in order to be able to produce enough in order to feed themselves?
Okay. As to the discouragement, there's really nothing to be discouraged about. Seedlings are like people, and seeds are like people. They have various degrees of potential, and we need to respect what they bring to us. I just have not found that has been the way for me. And I know people are losing plants right now because of the weather changes. So be it. We are not in control. Mother Nature is in control. So go back, do it again, and do it again until it comes about. That's my feeling. I don't bring negativity to my garden or discouragement. I bring hope. When I put a seed in, I give it a kiss and say, good luck. Hope you'll grow.
I like that.
You know, do I like well. That. I love you. Love me back. But so that's it's all about the focus and the respect that we know who's in control. And as to the time factor, there are a lot of people out there right now who have lawns and who have gardeners who are maintaining their lawns because they don't have the time. And my suggestion for that is to say to your gardener, how would you like to eat well? Because I'd like to eat well. So you can take your garden and a gardener, if you don't have the time, and let them build this for you. And when they go home, they're going home with some fruits and vegetables, and you're eating well, and we've made a beautiful transition as far as what we're doing with the time that we have. So we ourselves may not be able to, if busy, apply ourselves, but we can have our gardener do that. We can change everything, one home garden at a time.
I like that suggestion, too. I hadn't actually thought about that. I had thought about, well, maybe I need to hire somebody to do the gardening for me, and then that's another expense. But now that I'm thinking about it, it probably wouldn't cost any more to pay somebody to be working in my garden and growing food than it would cost to actually buy the food. And right now I don't have a gardener, but I do know people that don't have gardens. They don't have yards in which to put gardens. And I think that would be a fabulous thing for people who don't have time to garden to hook up with people who don't have yards. And that people could do the work and get paid in the produce because there will be plenty of produce for everybody. I mean, a yard, as I said before, can feed much more than one person, much more than one family. And another thing that I wanted to say that was actually a realization that I had while we were doing the show and looking at your website and talking with you, is that it really is, I think, about making a transformation to having growing food and being connected with nature in your yard be central. It's almost like a at-home organic edible garden lifestyle. And that if I were to say, I'm going to make that central in my life, and even put in 20 minutes a day, you know, like instead of going to the gym, I don't go to the gym, but I'm trying to figure out, like, where can people get time in their lives to do this? And I go for walks. If I were to spend that time walking instead, you know, bending over and weeding and getting exercise by working in the garden, it would produce food. And I think that what's needed is for people to be thinking in terms, including myself, be thinking in terms of how can I incorporate growing food into my life? How can I, it doesn't have to be, I think, sometimes people think, in order to do something like this, it's going to take a lot of time and I can't do it because I don't have time. But I do have raised beds. What happens is that things get busy in my life and I don't go out and take care of plants. And I think that taking care of the plants, having time to take care of the plants, they don't require that much care on a daily basis. Taking care of the plants, sharing care of the plants with someone else, is akin to taking time to take care of ourselves. That it's really, you know, it's the same issue. Are people taking care of themselves and their lives in other ways? And taking care of the garden is taking care of ourselves, because the garden takes care of us if we take care of it. And I think that's
I get that.
Yeah, it's a really important point. And I would like to see more and more that people understand the necessity of that for health, that health isn't just going, doing whatever you want, eating junk food, drinking tap water, and going to the doctor and taking a pill when you get sick. But health is taking care of ourselves and taking care of each other and taking care of the environment and the food and taking care of ourselves to give ourselves the best quality things that support life. And I see you doing that and appreciating that very much. Are there any final words you'd like to say? We've got just a few seconds.
I would like to say thank you. This has been one of the nicest introductions to someone who's making such a huge difference. I appreciate your time, and I feel wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for being with me. I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio.